Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
The Sierra Club has been around since 1892. But George Woodwell, whose advice helped inspire the launch of Living on Earth, worked with Fred Krupp in creating the Environmental Defense Fund and had a part in starting the World Resources Institute and the Natural Resources Defense Council as well. He founded and directed the Woods Hole Research Center and has also been a science advisor and board member of the World Media Foundation, which produces Living on Earth. George Woodwell says scientists have a duty to alert the public to the dangers they see.
I think the public understands the climatic disruption issue far better than our governmental leaders at the moment are willing to acknowledge. And unfortunately, we have a very heavy corporate influence over government at the moment in the United States. I think that's a malevolent influence. Certainly as far as the climatic disruption is concerned, it is a malevolent influence. Bad for the public, bad for the country, and bad for the world. They have been deliberate. These corporations have been deliberate in undermining the seriousness of the climatic disruption in the public eye and certainly in the political eye. And the money that they control influences the political eye of the world heavily. I think that is corrupt, simply corrupt, and that something has to be done about it very soon. We have hoped that Mr. Obama would take leadership and clean up the mess, and we really need someone like him who can do it.
So how do we get there? How does society get to this place where you say we need to be for our survival?
Well, if I knew how to get there, I would be pushing to get there. My perspective at the moment is that we have to have presidential leadership in the nation right at the moment, real presidential leadership. He and the White House and his staff, science advisor and the entire administration have to step forward and say to the nation, we have a problem. Here is the scale of the problem, and here are the details of the solution. The solution involves shifting away from fossil fuels immediately, as rapidly as we can. A 20% reduction in the use of fossil fuels overnight is possible. We have, in fact, in the last year, used less fossil fuels than ever previously, that is, in previous years. And there's no reason that we can't use much less over the course of the next few years. The objective has to be to not just stop the buildup of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, but to reduce the present burden. And that can be done, but it can be done only with U.S. leadership and White House leadership within the U.S.
Now, George, you're an ecologist by profession. You're a conservationist by conviction. You've devoted your career to the understanding the interactions of different ecosystems, but you've also taken it a step further to get involved with the policy and politics of things. Why?
Well, if one is going to pursue a life dealing with significant issues, we have to show how they're significant and be effective. And my view has been that the environmental issues are indeed significant issues these days, and that they are at the core of governmental responsibility. If we step back and ask why it is, at least in democracies, that we entrust to some of our fellow citizens the business of running human affairs, then we come out with a view that those human affairs are very heavily linked to environmental issues, that the core purpose of government has to be to protect human interests in life on Earth, in living on Earth, in fact, in breathing clean air and using clean water, and in having rules and regulations that make it fair to everyone in their access to opportunities for life. So a scientist looks at all of this and says, well, we have to connect our basic biophysics and biophysical requirements to governments. So there's every reason to look at government and ask whether it's doing its job. And in many ways, our government is doing its job. In many other ways, at the moment, on environmental issues, it is not.
How important is it for scientists to be revolutionaries?
Well, scientists don't want to be revolutionary, of course. They'd like to be simply laying out the facts of the world. But when the facts of the world are not taken, not heard, and ignored in a systematic way by commerce and government, scientists have to be outspoken. And now I think that it's time to be really shrill and unfortunately obnoxious, because the cost of failures to protect the basic biophysics of the Earth are going to be, if we don't recognize them, civilization itself. It will lead to chaos.
How obnoxious are you going to be, George Woodwell?
Well, it's hard to say. You have to figure out where to be obnoxious. I must say that I think our scientific community has to make a lot more noise. We should have been and must be now in the very center of the political arguments and the economic arguments, protecting the basic environment of the Earth to protect all life and to protect people. But protecting people isn't enough. Protecting all life will protect people.
George Woodwell is founder, director emeritus, and senior scientist at the Woods Hole Research Center. Thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure, Steve.
Coming up, we turn our attention to O3, or ozone, an environmental challenge met with timely and effective action. That's just ahead right here on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.